Hello and welcome to VOA's Press Freedom Podcast. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Today, we'll be hearing an interview here at VOA with Stephen Butler. Mr. Butler is the Asia Program Coordinator for the Committee to Protect Journalists. That's a free press advocacy organization. Now, recently, Mr. Butler was on his way to Pakistan when border authorities refused to grant him admittance. A border officer in Lahore told Butler that his journalist visa was valid, but it was voided because his name was, quote, on the top of the list of the Interior Ministry. He ultimately returned to the United States. VOA Urdu spoke with Mr. Butler about exactly what happened. Let's take a listen.
Stephen, you've been regularly visiting Pakistan. What happened this time around? You had a valid visa and you arrived at the Lahore airport. So just tell us what exactly happened with you.
Yes, it was. It appeared to be perfectly normal. I went up to the officer and presented my passport. He actually stamped the passport with an arrival. And then something appeared on his computer screen, and he asked another officer for some questions in Urdu I couldn't understand. And then after a few minutes, I was taken back to an office where there was another officer who was making phone calls, and he said he needed to inquire about some details. And then I think after about 20 or so minutes, I was told that I was on a stop list from the Ministry of Interior, that I would have to be sent back. He said he didn't know why or who put me on the list, but that it was impossible for me to enter the country.
Did you ask them about the stop list? What is it? Is there some Pakistani law around it?
I don't think it was up for discussion, honestly. Mm-hmm. I did try to push it. I said, well, look, I have a valid visa. You know, why can't you let me in? And he said they recognized that the visa was valid, but then he said that this being put on this list overrides the visa.
And this was not your first trip to Pakistan, was it?
No, I've been five or six times over the years.
Right. So did you contact your embassy or Pakistani council, anybody, just trying to understand what were you allowed to do? How were they treating you?
They were businesslike, I think is the right word. They were, you know, there's no hostility or anything like that. I tried to contact some friends in Pakistan, but it was the middle of the night, and I wasn't able immediately to get through. The officer there actually suggested I contact the U.S. Embassy, but it's the same thing. You know, the embassy, there might have been a duty officer, but things were happening very quickly. I was to be put on the same flight that I arrived on, which was leaving, you know, fairly shortly, so there really wasn't a lot of time to do anything. I did manage to get messages out to my home office and some others.
So you got there on the 17th of October around 1 a.m.?
Yes, I think 1 or 1:30, something like that. Yeah.
And why were you there?
I was there. I was scheduled to speak at the Asma Jahangir conference, on the human rights conference, which was to start on Saturday, which starts on Saturday and it goes through the weekend.
So you were going there to attend Asma Jahangir conference, which is the biggest human rights conference in Pakistan, and it's to remember Asma Jahangir and to pay tribute to her. Why do you think they would stop you to attend the conference?
You know, the simple answer is I don't know, and to give you an answer would be speculative. I am unable to see into the inner workings of the Pakistani government. It's true that I have written, you know, over the years a number of critical things about Pakistan. On the other hand, we try to engage the government, and we have done so, and we try to present a balanced report that includes the government's point of view. So it's difficult to pinpoint a reason or a motivation in this instance.
So when you talk about being critical of Pakistan government, could you tell us more about what kind of reports you've been writing and what kind of criticism you're talking about?
Well, for example, earlier this year, I had a fairly lengthy piece criticizing the proposal for the Pakistan Media Regulatory Authority. We have been opposed to the special media courts that have been talked about and proposed in Pakistan. When TV stations are arbitrarily shut down, we put out statements, you know, objecting to that. If a journalist is arrested, we do the same thing. So this is, you know, part and parcel of what we do everywhere, not just in Pakistan. We're a worldwide organization. We stand for press freedom everywhere.
So how do you see the state of press freedom evolving now that the state is openly creating hindrances?
Well, it's been a very disappointing story. The thing that worried CPJ, a Committee to Protect Journalists, 5, 6, 7 years ago, was that many journalists were being killed and murdered for their work. Fortunately, that's not happening to the same extent. But we also see that there's a kind of a censorship that's being imposed very often now through the owners of media properties. There's tremendous leverage being imposed. If a newspaper steps out of line, the circulation can be blocked. If a TV station broadcasts something that is objectionable, they'll find their transmission of their news broadcast, blocked. And when that happens, it immediately hits the revenue, of the media company. And so the media owners don't want to cross, in this case, we believe it's the military that's behind this, but they don't want to cross the government or the military because their businesses are at stake. It takes someone very brave who can stand up against that. And we know journalists, I know personally journalists, who, for example, have suspended their Twitter accounts on their own because their owners were getting nervous. So they don't want to, the journalists also don't want, the media owners to lose money and have to close the business. So it's a very effective means of control that we're seeing.
So you're saying that military is behind it. Why do you say that? Because in the past we've seen civilian governments also trying to go after journalists who are critical of their policies.
If you look at it now, I think what you saw under the previous government was that civilian and military were actually in conflict, and it created a space for journalists to be more critical, particularly of the civilian government. Now, what I'm being told by people who are, and this makes a lot of sense, is that up until very recently, in any case, the military and the civilian governments were on the same page about this, about their view of the of journalists. And so now there's very little space left, for journalists to be critical in the way that was more possible, previously. The military in Pakistan is, it's apparently very popular among the people, but it's very powerful, and it seems determined to have its will, carried out.
So what would you tell the journalists who are working in that environment in Pakistan?
Well, we hope that all journalists can find the space to be truthful. Now, I know that some journalists have decided intentionally to steer away from overtly political topics or topics that will bring them into conflict with the military, and, for example, focus on health issues or environmental issues. But others are doing their best still to be truthful about these very controversial issues. As you may know, the Committee to Protect Journalists is offering its most prestigious award, the Gwen Ifill Award, to the editor of Dawn Newspapers, Afra Abbas, because we see that Dawn is making a very serious effort to tell the truth in Pakistan in an objective way. And it's not that there aren't any compromises at all. You have to live in that environment. But they've been remarkably, successful, I think, at keeping their integrity. And there are certainly other individual journalists and publications that are trying as best they can, to do that.
So what are the repercussions if in a society like Pakistan, media is not free, press is not able to cover the stories that they want to? Mm-hmm.
Well, in a democracy, and certainly Pakistan aspires to be a democracy, the press plays an absolutely critical role. It gives voters information on which they can form their opinions and vote. Additionally, in any society, the press plays an absolutely critical role in exposing corruption. Now, if you don't have a free press, you cannot have a democracy, and it's an invitation to corruption. And that is the consequence that I think you see all around the world when the press is muzzled. Now, a free press can be messy, but that's part of the price that you pay for these other wonderful things, democracy and some hope for having a cap on corruption.
You're talking about Pakistan, but we're sitting here in America, and we also see that in this new era, there are press is going through a lot of problems. There is some sort of, barriers now for them to cover the stories that they want to cover. So how do you think America or these organizations can hold Pakistan accountable?
Well, I think the Committee to Protect Journalists is not a political organization, and we don't represent America. Historically, the United States has stood very strongly for freedom of the press, and many of the formal institutions of government that have supported that are still in operation. For example, in the State Department, where there's continuing to be monitoring of human rights and violations of press freedom, and we do get support from that. Unfortunately, the President of the United States has felt free to attack the press as enemies of the people, and this has consequences in the United States. But I think the consequences are more severe overseas, because it gives authoritarian governments a green light to take action against the press. This is a very serious issue. We are extremely concerned about it.
Last question. So you've talked about how free press can be messy, and that is one of the arguments that Pakistan government gives when they are talking about, or when they're asked about violations of press freedom, and they say that there are very few journalists who are doing journalism with responsibility. So that is the argument that they make to sort of come up with special courts for media. What would you say to that?
I would say that I'm actually rather impressed by the talent and bravery of Pakistani journalists. When I see their work, there's some terrific journalism that's being done. And I would say just let them do their work, let them do their job, and Pakistan will be much better off. The Pakistani people should be capable of discerning the difference between truth and falsehood and quality and poor quality journalism. That's what a free market is all about. And I just think if you let the Pakistani journalists do their job, Pakistan will be much better off.
What's the biggest fear? Why do you think that military and the government is controlling press in Pakistan?
Well, that's a bit. No one likes to be criticized. You would think they're doing it because they feel they're in the right, but very often governments or people in positions of authority don't want what they're doing to be exposed. It may be corrupt, it may be unethical, it may be any of these things. But I think the motivation to control the press is universal. They have something to hide.
Do you think that as compared to the previous governments, the current environment or under the current government, journalists, the space for journalists or freedom of expression is shrinking?
I think that's correct. I think there are certainly lots of pressures on journalists under the Nawaz Sharif government. They were not coming necessarily from the civilian government. It was for journalists to criticize the civilian authorities, pretty much open season. I think the current government is less, from what I can see, is less tolerant than has been previously. And the methods of control are becoming more subtle and more effective.
Thanks so much for your time, Steve.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's Stephen Butler. He's the Asia Program Coordinator with the Committee to Protect Journalists. He was speaking with VOA Urdu. Well, that's VOA's Press Freedom Podcast for now. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back as soon as we can. Until then, be well.